Every once in a while, a story comes along which so illustrates a part of what Christ has done for us. And a lot of times the news is just filled with negative things. But sometimes something comes along and it's actually a good thing. And one of those stories came along and it touched my heart. I couldn't let it go. And it's at these times that you see people act Christ-like that it makes you remember the enormity of what Jesus has done for each one of us. And when you see people act Christ-like, it almost takes you back and makes you wonder, how do they have the strength to do what they just did? And this is what led me to this portion of the Bible, which we will read right now, which is Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. It says this: let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. The story that I'm referring to, many of you I'm sure have seen this story. It happened a couple of weeks ago. There was this little girl, 9 years old. And her parents took her to a firing range. And she was using an automatic weapon, a machine gun. And it got away from her and she ended up killing the person that was next to her and shooting her. You've seen this story? And the amazing thing is not that, but the amazing thing was the response of the children of the man who died. I don't know if any of you have seen that, but there were, I believe, four of them. They videotaped, they went on and they were videotaped and just offered such a compassionate response to a little girl who I'm sure was hurting beyond what any of us could imagine. It was such a Christ-like response. It was such an offer of forgiveness and peace that they extended, which just took me back and said, how could anyone have the strength to do that upon losing a father? Of course, the little girl didn't mean it. It wasn't her. She didn't intend it. It wasn't intentional. It was a mistake. That's all it was. But it was a costly mistake to them. And here are these kids, little kids, under the age of 20, were offering forgiveness and peace and extending love to this little girl. It was this incredible, incredible display. It's an incredible display of forgiveness. And forgiveness is one of those items which goes so often undetected, even among the body of Christ. Because we could all come to church and we could all look real good. And we could all put on our Sunday best and our Sunday face. And when greeted, say, yes, we're doing good. Everything is great. But then somewhere in the back of the heart, there could be a chamber which still has some unforgiveness. It might not be that so big that it affects everything in your life. But it could be just one hidden corner with one person, maybe two people, maybe an organization. And it's still there. And God knows about that as well. God knows about all those areas of unforgiveness that we all have or are tempted to have. Hopefully we all don't have it. But sometimes we need to examine ourselves and go back because if they don't come up every day, they could go hidden for years and years and years. And then a conversation will come up and all of a sudden the feelings will return. And it's clear that the forgiveness has not really been given or extended or applied in the hearts. One of the incredible things about these children when they did this is they actually told the servant, "We're worried about you. We think about you. We pray for you." I thought, wow, what incredible maturity. What incredible maturity for just little children. And maturity doesn't mean that we're old in years. It means that we're mature in our hearts, in our actions, and in our minds. I keep seeing over and over in the Bible, it's unmistakable how maturity is defined by how you're concerned for others rather than you're concerned for yourself. This is a mark of Christian maturity. Concern for others rather than concern for yourself. As you read through the New Testament, you will see it over and over and over. Concerned. How concerned are we about the other person over the concerns for ourselves? On the outside, you would think, well, these kids, no matter what they said, if they were angry, if they were bitter, if they were frustrated, everybody would pretty much give them a pass and say, sure, we understand. We understand why. We would probably struggle to have the exact same feelings and overcome those exact same feelings, but here they are. And they said, we would like to meet you. We would like to hug you. And we would like to tell you it's okay. This was the response from children who had just unexpectedly and tragically lost their father. We would like to meet you. We would like to hug you. And we would like to tell you it's okay. Such a Christ like response. They didn't say they were Christian. They said they prayed for her. I don't know. I would like to think it's a Christ-like response, but I cannot make that assumption. But here, it does mirror the actions of Jesus, where He went to the cross before anyone even asked. Here these kids are offering forgiveness, offering such statements before it was even asked. And this is the way Jesus dealt with us too. Before, when we were still sinners, He died for us. Because that's how great His love was. While we were still sinners, before we even knew to ask Him, before we even knew there was a problem, He said, I'll take care of the problem. I'll make arrangements for the issue. Because that's how great a God that we serve. Now, it does not mean that just because they offered, that it will be accepted. And this tragically is the story of many people in our lives and the lives of those around us. Jesus has offered this incredible forgiveness, but many people don't accept it. It's been offered, but many people still have yet to accept this great forgiveness. They also told this girl, that they do not want this act to define who she is. Those are the words that they said. We don't want this to define you. And many times, the things that we've done wrong in our past, or the things that we might still be doing wrong, or the things that we can't overcome, they are the things which define us in our minds. We can't get over the things that we do wrong. And they said, we don't want the wrong to define. We don't want the mistake to define you. They want her to know that she's loved. They want her to know that she's accepted. They want her to know it's okay. They want her to know. They said, yes, it's a hard thing, but we are here to accept you. We don't want it to define you. They told her, you need to move on with your life. You need to love yourself and to love others. What a wonderful type of response, because problems define us often. Maybe it's a bad relationship within the family, a parent with a child, a child with a parent. Maybe it's a struggle in a marriage. Maybe it's a bad marriage. Maybe it's a marriage that has failed. God knows all of that, but He does not want all of those things to define any of us, because what He's done is He's redeemed us. What He's done is He's taken all of the things that have gone wrong in our lives, whether we have done them or others have done them to us, and He says, I've redeemed it. I'll take it. I've made amends for it. I've paid the price for it. You don't have to carry it. You don't have to be defined by it. I'm the one who took it all on me. I took it all on me at the cross, and you could be my child at this point. Such a beautiful thing that the Lord has done for us. He does not want us to be defined by all of those negative things, but He wants us to be defined by His righteousness, which He has given us freely. Freely given righteousness to us, which we did not deserve, but yet He gave to us. Verse 31 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you. Put all of that away from you. Many times we, even as Christians, are often marked by all of those things. Bitterness, anger, evil speaking. When it comes to things like, you mention the word politics, you mention the word government, especially a government that you might not agree with, and all of a sudden, the anger comes up, the frustration comes up, the bitterness comes up. It's so easy to be there. It's so easy to let that out and to realize that it's in there. It doesn't mean that we have to support everything that's wrong in the world, but the feelings that we have inside us, we are supposed to be people that have self-control given to us by the Holy Spirit as a gift. It is not a gift. It is a fruit of the Spirit. Self-control. There is a verse in Psalm 130 and verse 4. To me, it is a fascinating verse talking about the Lord. Psalm 130 and verse number 4. I'll read to you verse number 3 as well. It says, if you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Verse number 4 says this, but there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. The forgiveness that comes from God is so great, so complete, so incredible that it could actually leave us with a sense of awe. That it could leave us with a sense of awe and reverence. There is forgiveness so great from you that you may be feared, that you may be awed by us, because we get a sense of what you have done for us and we are left speechless. There was a friend of ours that we knew from our time in the city. He was high in the echelon of gang membership. So high, he was number 3 in command of the whole one of the gangs in the Chicagoland area. That's pretty high. Dealt in massive amounts of money, massive amounts of drugs, massive amounts of guns. He was arrested, went before a judge, and the judge gave him some leniency at this one point and told him, if I ever see you again back here, I'm going to give you 80 to 90 years. And so So he knew about God. God was working in his life. And one day, he said that he was in a room and there was so much quantity of drugs, so much money. And he said that at that moment, he said he called out to God and he said, "I want to get out of this." And within 5 minutes, the police raided that place. He was arrested once again. He had been arrested many, many times. And now he appears before the judge again. The same judge that told him, "If you come, if I see you again, it's going to be your life. 80 to 90 years. And he stood before the judge, and the judge told him, "I don't know why I'm going to do this, but I'm going to let you go." And his response basically was one that might be similar to what it is in this verse. Here this person, here this judge has his life in his hands, and he says, "I don't know why, but I'm just going to let you go." And the hair, I can imagine, the hair on his arms must just stand up, the chills must go down his spine, because it's so incredible, it's so awesome, it's so unbelievable that there was such mercy allowed at that moment. And this is the way God is with us. He has given us forgiveness for so great an offense. Because the Bible says that all of our sins are against God. He's the one that's offended. We hurt people. But our sin is firstly against God. And God is the one who says, "I forgive you." Because no one can stand, the Bible says, if he should mark iniquities, if he should mark sins, if he should count sin, who could stand? No one can stand. But there is forgiveness with him that he might be feared. Because he is so great a God that he forgives even the greatest sin, even the greatest quantity of sin. He forgives at all. It is this unexpected forgiveness, this unimaginable mercy that he has, that he has shared with us through his Son, Jesus. This is what has happened to us. He has loved us. He has sought us first. He has forgiven us. And now, as those kids told that little girl, he just wants to hug us. He just wants to love us. He wants to be with us one day. He calls himself, the analogy that he uses is the bride and the bridegroom. He wants to have a loving relationship with us. This is who God is with us. And then what he expects is, he expects us to do the exact same with others. He expects us to do the exact same with others. Whoever's wronged us, whoever's hurt us, who's ever done anything that is not right, who's ever hurt one of our friends, one of our family members, who's ever tried to get ahead of us and acted dishonestly around us, he says, "Forgive as I have forgiven." That's what verse 32 in Ephesians 4 says. It says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." He says, "I'm the example. Christ is the example. Christ is the one that we follow. His forgiveness should be what we go after. His forgiveness is what we should mirror." And when we know that there's so much that we have done wrong that's offensive to God, there is nothing that should not be forgiven. This is the example that we follow. This is the example that Christ left for us. And you say, "Well, I just can't do it." And again, it might not consume your whole life. It might just be that one person or that one situation that you can't let go. But yet God knows about it. It might not be everybody, and it might not come out in all of your conversations. There are people that are like that. They're a little scary to be around. Right? They're so bitter and so angry. No matter what you say to them, oh, have a nice day. They bring up something. Oh, man, this person did something bad to me 3 years ago. Oh, my gosh. Right? You any subject, they wield it around to their hurt and their pain. That might not be any one of us, but we still look at our hearts and we go through the Rolodex of all our relationships and we say, are we good with everyone? Is there something that's not right somewhere? Because we can't progress very far in our spiritual relationship without dealing with forgiveness. We can't progress very far in our spiritual relationship without dealing with forgiveness. The Bible even makes that clear that our prayers are hindered if there is unforgiveness in our hearts. And it's just the straight out command, forgive even as Christ has forgiven you. But you see, I might not be able to. And sometimes it does take time. And sometimes it does take time. Forgiveness is not always a switch that you turn on and one day you say, I'm fine, and even though the minute before I wasn't fine. Sometimes it takes time. But the question that we all must wrestle with is, do we want to do it? Do we want to forgive? Do we want to mend our hearts in this relationship? Knowing full well that the other person or whatever it is, might not want it, might not think it's necessary, just as Christ has done so often. He offered forgiveness, but many people don't receive it. We might offer forgiveness, but others might not receive it. And you're more of a Christ-like. You're more Christ-like
if that happens in your heart. But the question is, do you want it? Do you want this to happen? Because if you want it to happen, if you want to be able to forgive the other person, then the grace of God will be able to take over. Then the grace of God will be able to come in and give you what you need, because we can't always do this by ourselves. In our own discipline, in our own emotions, in our own minds, we can't make this happen, but the grace of God wants it to happen. It's in the Bible. The Bible would not tell us to do something if the grace of God wasn't going to be there to do it.
So we are assured that God wants to give us the ability to forgive all those around us for whatever they have done. This is the good news. Because unforgiveness sits as a bitterness and a cancer in us. It eats away from the inside. And God wants us to be free. He set us free. He's died so that we can be free. It was for freedom that you were set free, is what the Bible tells us.
The question is, do you want? Do you want to forgive that person? That group? Do you want to let that situation go? This is the question that you must wrestle with at first. It might be helpful to realize that if you are having trouble forgiving, maybe you don't realize the debt that you have been forgiven.
Maybe it will be helpful to think of the debt that you have been forgiven, how great a weight of sin that has been wiped off your plate, wiped off your account. Maybe it will be helpful to you to realize the greatness sin God has covered for you. Because that little girl
in that situation,
this has got to be a huge weight on her mind. They've gone into hiding. No one knows her name as far as I know. No one knows anything about her. Because the weight of the situation is great. To have the person that she offended come out and say, we want you to be okay. This has the ability to be so healing in her life. This has the ability to set her free from all of the guilt, from all of the remorse, from all of the what if I only. It has that ability. Because she understands how great a consequence, how great a situation, how great a mistake it was. It wasn't her fault, or she didn't intentionally do it. But she understands the weight of it. If we understand the weight of what we've done and what we've been forgiven, it will be much easier for us to turn around and forgive someone else. It will be much easier for us to turn around and offer that hand of peace to someone else. When we realize the extent of what Jesus has done for us, it will be so much easier to offer it to someone else, to spread that Christ-like love to the next person who may or may not deserve it. But nonetheless, it doesn't matter about them. It matters about our response. It matters how we are going to respond to the gospel. It matters how we are going to respond to what the Bible tells us. Are we going to be ones who hold that unforgiveness, or are we going to be ones who freely give out that fragrance of Christ, as the Bible calls it? We spread the fragrance of Christ among those who are believing and among those who are not believing. We are that fragrance. Forgiveness is a wonderful fragrance. It actually makes you just look and wonder at how someone can do such a great thing, how someone can do such a selfless thing, how someone can do such a loving thing. It's an incredible response. And we are called to have the same response. We are called to have the same attitude. And we are called to do the exact same thing. I believe God is just asking us, examine our lives. Make sure there are no areas even buried way deep of unforgiveness. Because God sees them. We might be able to fool everyone else around us, but we don't fool God. He knows. He sees the condition of the heart. He sees the matters of the heart. He sees the wrong and He sees the right. He is not saying that He just ignores all wrong, but He is saying we are to offer forgiveness. We are to be agents of forgiveness in this world. Do you realize how many wars could have been avoided if forgiveness was more common than retaliation? Forgiveness was more the answer than revenge. How much bitterness and how many lives could be changed? And God wants us to be free as well. He wants us to have His liberty within us. He does not want us to be closed in. He does not want us to be chained up. And the Bible says that those that have no forgiveness, He gives them over to the torturers. That was a parable that He gave. He does not want you to be in that condition. He wants you to be free. He has saved you to be free. Examine your life. Ask God to give you the grace. Ask God to give you the help. And He will do mighty things on your behalf because it is His will. He put it in His word because He wants it to happen in your life. You agree with His will. And see what God will do in your life. His name be praised. We're going to go down before the Lord and pray. Thank God for